Welcome to the Sharp Side Podcast. I'm your host, Chaz Parada, and joining me is the one and the only James Bitter. James, we have college football. This is technically our first college podcast of the year, even though we recorded two others. I ran into technical difficulties, just like the file corrupted on my computer. So that sucked. And then I had to spend the night in the emergency room, and that did not help with time. So I was just not able to get our stuff out on early. But James, week one and week zero have come and gone. What's like your feeling? Just looking forwards towards the finish line as we are just beginning the little journey of the 2021 college football season.
Very excited. Week one was good on many fronts. I think a couple of our tickets look really good, like Georgia. Just them to win it. I think we got 8-1, so that obviously looks really good now. They're down to plus 350. And then a couple other things too.
Not to one up you or anything, but I think I might have 9-1.
Yeah, that's a solid number. cash Clemson under win total, so that was nice.
Yeah, but really, you are already well in the green.
Yeah.
There you go.
Virginia Tech was a little bit of a bummer. They actually looked very good.
Yeah, so that defense looked incredible.
That was a bit of a shock to me, but a lot of football left, a lot of time for them to play down to their actual level. So I'm excited. Good start. A lot to look forward to.
Just to kind of like go over how we're going to do these college football podcasts, I'm hoping to have it a little more organized than it was last year, where I was kind of toying with the format of it all week to week. But so James and I have agreed to wager season long on just like our record. So what we're doing is we're going to be drafting sides or totals. We'll advocate for money lines, but we're not going to be drafting money lines. That's just going to be way too hard for me to keep track of, or not hard, but I just don't want to. And so we'll each draft five picks. We'll do it before the pod, just so it kind of flows more easily. And in addition to that, we'll talk like the top 25 matchups, the good matchups of the weekend, just in case we don't hit them in our picks. But James, I just quickly wanted to see if you had any thoughts on a couple of these games. I believe it was Thursday night, Ohio State, Minnesota. Jeez, it feels like forever ago.
Yeah, it does. I walked away pretty impressed by both teams. I thought Minnesota played really well for about 2.5 quarters, but like Ohio State, when CJ Stroud finally settled in, was just too explosive. Minnesota didn't really have an answer. They pushed, which was nice, and they actually won the first half outright, which is really, very nice. But
yeah, you made a chunk of change there.
I did. I was a little wrong on that under, but I walked away impressed by both, and I think Ohio State winning that game is big for them going forward and just kind of pulling away at the end. It solidifies that they're just a solid team, and they're not going anywhere, even if they have like a young quarterback and a little bit of an inexperienced team.
Yeah, we'll get to it when we talk Oregon, Ohio State, but I think overall, like, it's so easy to see the tools that Stroud has. So it's like that combined with the insane receiving core is just going to be really exciting to follow. I was actually really kind of like very impressed with the Minnesota O-line. I think that might be a very underrated and like slept on unit in the entire country. So it will be interesting to see what they can do. It sucks that Ibrahim got hurt, but like when they face bad D lines or like a team like Maryland, where you can probably just run all over them, they might have a massive matchup advantage there. And it will be definitely something to keep an eye on. One more thing I had to add, and like EPA per play stats, Ohio State absolutely murdered Minnesota. Much of that's just kind of due to like long touchdowns and stuff, but it is kind of, I think Ohio State's gonna be a big play threat all year long, and like that's just gonna be they're a matchup nightmare for teams. No one is deep enough in the secondary to hang with them, so I'm very bullish on the ceiling of this Ohio State team, just because the offense is, if Stroud is nowhere near as polished as Mac Jones, but I'm seeing a lot of offensive similarities between in terms of explosiveness between last year's Alabama offense and this year's Ohio State offense. Georgia Clemson, the game of the weekend. For a low scoring game, that was like incredible to watch. Normally those are a bit boring, but like that was like a excellent slugfest. Clemson's offense looked horrible. Their O-line just got absolutely dominated. I was so impressed with Georgia's defense. It's insane. And I was arguably as impressed with Clemson's defensive line, who like dominated as equally, which Georgia has better talent on the O-line. So like, I'm still thinking that Clemson can sneak their way into the playoff fairly easily. What do you think?
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me, but I think they need a loss from Ohio State or Oklahoma moving forward. It helps them, I think, a lot that this was week one, not later in the season, so they have time to get brownie points and whatnot. But definitely walked away really impressed by Georgia. I mean, we were spot on. We said their defense could be really, really good this year. And they,
which, kudos to us for such a hot take, right?
Yeah, but they looked incredible. That game, like you said, was really fun to watch. And I'm glad Georgia won. It worked out pretty well for us.
Yeah, I agree. Wisconsin, Penn State. Right hand up, I think James Franklin sucks, but their defense looked incredible. It was just very disciplined, super fast, and like all over the field. And like they were able to get big plays when they needed it. Wisconsin was able to move the ball, but like it's just like a bend, don't break thing where once they got into the red zone, they immediately, or like even like really, like they were in a bunch of short yardage situations that normally Wisconsin just absolutely dominates, and they were not able to do it. Penn State impressed me along with the Wisconsin defense, because they acquitted themselves quite well.
Yeah, I agree with both that. I think Penn State was pretty fortunate in that game.
Wisconsin agree. Had
three red zone trips that didn't score, missed field goal from like 20 yard, like a 23 yarder that got blocked, fumble, and then I think turnover on down. So uncharacteristic by them, but kudos to Penn State for pulling that one out on the road.
Are you panicking about Graham Mertz, or do you think it was just like a so-so game? I don't even think he played bad. The offense just does not help him.
No, I completely agree. It's like they don't really open up the playbook and have any exotic plays. It looks like Jack Cohn back there. It's like the same thing. Like,
yeah,
same play call, that type of stuff. So it doesn't worry me. I think Penn State's also just, like you said, exceptional on defense. So I think it's a combination. I don't think you look bad by any stretch, but I mean, there was no throws where you just kind of like, that just wowed you, you know?
Oh, for sure. And my comment about like the play designs, where it's like too many underneath routes where they're not.
It sets up like second and medium, second and shorts, just like kind of stay ahead of the chains. Yeah. Taking chances.
And which he's got a good arm. Like, I'd like to see him like look downfield more, but there's also a chance that because Penn State was winning quite a bit on the defensive line. So there's a chance they just wanted to get the ball out quick. So
yeah, that would make sense. Definitely part of it.
UCLA, LSU. UCLA stomped on LSU. I will say DTR looked pretty good. He made better decisions than what we have seen the past couple of years. And he is just so fast. But I was just so impressed by, of course, Chip Kelly is a great play caller, but the running game was just absolutely dominant. And LSU had no answer. Is this the year Orgeron gets fired, just with everything that's gone on like the past year?
Too early to tell. I mean, they got a lot of time to right the ship. So I wouldn't say that just yet, but I mean, if they go 6-6, it certainly gets toasty. I'd imagine they bring him back for one more year. It's hard to have a leash just 2 years after winning a national championship.
That's true. That's true.
But I mean, they definitely don't look the same.
Also, I will say
they were thoroughly dominated too.
Yeah, I will say though, like UCLA looks incredible. Like they just might be a really good team. So
yeah, I agree.
I guess I shouldn't be jumping the gun that quick. And then finally, the Sunday night game, or was it Monday? No, it was Sunday. Notre Dame, Florida State. I thought it was so cool to watch Mackenzie Milton come back. That was like crazy. He was running the ball. Like, all credit to Alex Smith. He looked like, a statue, and he looked like he was afraid to run. Mackenzie Milton was showing no fear and had like, he was coming off quite a similar injury. And like the fact that they came back down 17, and it's sucked they lost in overtime, but it was still pretty cool to watch. Where I shit on Jack Cohn, but he impressed me. He played an outstanding game, made some good throws, and but my one major takeaway, and then I'll let you get to it after this, James, the Florida State offensive line looked
so
horrible,
bad.
So bad. I was stunned. Notre Dame was in the backfield within like a second and a half every time, even less than that probably. It just astounded me to say it again. Go ahead. What were your thoughts on that game?
I actually was pretty impressed by both teams. I thought Notre Dame offensively looked very good. I don't know if Florida State's defense is just weak yet or if Notre Dame's offense is actually that good. But I walked away impressed by that. And like you said, the O-line for Florida State was just so bad. I think Notre Dame, if this isn't at Florida State, probably wins this game pretty handily. But after Milton came in and scored that touchdown, I think to make it 38-28 or 38-27, it just felt like all the momentum shifted right there. So in like on that sense, good for Florida State and all that. That was a crazy story. But I walked away pretty surprised they didn't win that game after it went to overtime. So I was kind of bummed.
Yeah. It would have been really cool. But that was kind of like the big games of the weekend. I mean, like Lane Train dominated. Matt Crowell looked great, but
yes,
they beat up a bad team. Really quick before I toss it over to the sponsor, I just want to kind of outside of win totals, but just kind of like conference futures that you might have, just since we didn't get to release the previews. What are you looking at? National championship, conference previews, whatever.
Well, I didn't make that many national championship bets. All I had before the year was Georgia 8-1, Cincy 8-1. And my only conference win
total or Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
Okay.
Rain fart there. My only division or conference future was Wisconsin plus 125, which was a really good number. Obviously not the start you want.
No,
but I mean they still get Iowa at home. All their big games are still at home in conference, so it's not the end of the world, but definitely not where you want to start on the wrong foot.
Like they could also easily go 11-1.
Yeah,
which like that wouldn't shock me at all. For me, I've got Utah to win. What are they in the South? The South at 4-1. Which now they're 4-1 to win the Pac-12, which is happy about that one. And then I've got Oklahoma 8-1 to win it all, Georgia 9-1. I think that's it. Nothing in the ACC. Nothing. I almost bet A&M to win the SEC, but I just ended up not doing it. But little segue. I do want to talk about the two Texas teams really quick because they did start freshman quarterbacks. Texas A&M. Did you watch any of the A&M game?
None of it.
Okay.
Actually, you know what's funny is we went to a bar and it was on like half the bar screens during the Clemson game. So obviously someone had money on it, but like nobody in the bar is watching. So
that's funny.
It's just one of those things.
I watched a little bit of it. The first half was a little choppy, but what's his name? Why am I blanking on his name? Not Hudson Card or whatever it is, but whatever. The Texas A&M quarterback, it'll come to me. He looked kind of like – it looked like the C.J. Stroud first half, where it's just like a little jitters early on, and then he settled in. He looked really good. He is very fast, and he runs the ball very well. that it's there's a lot of weapons on that team, which it should be fun to follow. Texas looked outstanding. They beat up a good team with a good coach. But you watched that game. You watched more of that game than I did. So what were your thoughts there?
Louisiana couldn't stop them. It's plain and simple. Texas has looked really, really good on offense. Hudson Card looked the part. So, I mean, that if you're a Texas fan or just like when Texas is good, I'm definitely not going to say they're back, but they look good for week one. That's a game in years past they drop or win by like three. Sam Ehlinger, like final minute drive. So they handled from beginning to end. So I was very impressed.
All right. Well, before we start giving out plenty of winners, we'll hit the top 25 and our favorite plays of the week. Just a quick word from our sponsor, Anchor. Big thank you to Anchor, but let's get into the top 25 matchups. Oregon traveling to take on Ohio State, who is laying 14.5, total at 63.5. James, what are we thinking?
If I had to play it, I'd play Ohio State. I just did last week, watched probably a quarter or two of that game, was kind of following the entire time. Got a big lead early and just fell asleep. I'm sure some of it was looking ahead, but no Kayvon Thibodeau in all likelihood this week definitely hurts them. And like you said, I just don't know if anyone can stop what they have out of receiver with Olave and is it Wilson?
Garrett Wilson.
Butcher the second one. Okay. Yeah, if I had to play it, I'd play Ohio State minus the points, but I'll probably just pass one.
I bet Ohio State minus 14. I just think we're going to see a sharper CJ Stroud, and Oregon's just going to struggle to put pressure on him, especially without Thibodeau. Their secondary also is not great, and their quarterback situation is terrible. Anthony Brown is not good. They have to fully commit to whoever the freshman is, was like Ty Thompson or something like that. I don't know. That might be way wrong. But I think Oregon might be able to move the ball a little bit on the ground, but Ohio State is going to dictate whatever they want. Ohio State's offensive line is like top three-ish in the country probably. And I just think that they're going to completely dominate. So Ohio State minus 14 for me.
Fair enough.
Iowa State, I believe this is the game day game, right?
Should be. It has to be.
Iowa State is hosting Iowa, and they're laying 4.5 right now. The total is at 46. I'll start. I bet a bad Iowa number. I have them at 3.5. I might bet more at 4.5. They just looked – the Iowa State offense looked horrible without Charlie Collar, who is going to be back, so that will be a plus for them. But they were also missing a starting receiver who I think maybe meant more than we may have possibly thought. But it's – Brock Purdy showed like an inability to – completed a pass when they really needed it. They were plus two in the turnover margin against an FCS school and still only won by 6. Now that's not a University of Washington type bad performance, but that's not great. And you're not going to be able to get away with that against a defense like Iowa's. On top of that, Matt Campbell's just never beat Iowa. And while I do think this is his best chance, Iowa has one of their best teams in more than a few years. So plus they absolutely handled Indiana. I know, I imagine you'll say something, but what are your thoughts here?
Similarly to you, we talked about this Sunday night when this number came out. I also took 3.5. I might also go back to the well. Just a few notes here on the series. Last time Iowa State won by more than 3 against Iowa was 2005. Since 2006, they've actually won 4 times. but every single win has been by three or less. They've won by two, three, three, and three in overtime. So
glad I'm getting the points.
That's what I'm saying. So I still like Iowa. I walked away really impressed. I just think this is going to be a grinded out game. I also kind of lean to this under. May bet that as well. I think, first half under might be a really good play here. I think both teams are going to come out with nerves, especially Iowa State. I don't really take a whole lot away from them last week. I mean, this is just what Iowa State does every year until Brocktober. They just play bad teams very close, FCS schools, and then they cover every spread in October.
Yeah, and that's never beat Iowa. How it goes. They are following the
I'm going to be on Iowa here, and I might come back for some more.
Sounds good.
They are. So, yep.
All right. University of Washington is traveling to take on Michigan in the Big House. Michigan's laying 7. This is a home game for Michigan, right? It's not neutral?
Yeah, it's a home game.
Okay. Michigan's laying 7. Total's at 48.5. I don't have much here. Although I do kind of like the under. Washington played. I haven't seen a college football team play farther away from the level they're capable of, like Washington did, since probably. I actually watched a little bit of that UNLV like Howard game or something like that, because it was on, I think it was on TV.
When they're like 45-point favorite.
And they lost outright. And that's like the only, and which it's UNLV too, which you can't hold it that bad against them. Shockingly, SDSU all gave them a run for their money for the what would have been the worst loss of the weekend, but they ended up winning by 3 touchdowns. So that just isn't a thing. But Washington looked absolutely incredibly terrible. And I just think that 7 points is a huge overreaction to that, especially when Michigan loses their probably the best player in Ronnie Bell, which I think he's out for the season, which is a bummer. But I do kind of lean Michigan just because I can't get that performance last week out of my head. That being said, I don't think – oh, no. This is why I just lean Michigan, because I don't want to bet Washington. So what are your thoughts?
So I'm with you on the under. I do like the under. There's supposed to be some heavy winds, I think 17 to 20 miles per hour.
Okay.
In this game. So obviously that affects it a little bit. I like both defenses. So that bodes well for the under. I think Washington especially, I really like that defense.
Their secondary is great.
I just don't trust them offensively. Yeah. I mean, I really like Washington's defense. That's like, and well, I really like Washington parlay +7 to the under. If you like Washington, I don't think they score. And if they stay in this game, it's going to be a low scoring game. So I think that's pretty correlated. I really like the unders too, like you said. And I woke up today kind of liking Washington. I just think if you looked ahead before last Saturday, just blindly, this line is probably 2.5 or 3. And now we're getting 4.5 points. Like, it just seems kind of overkill. Like, just up to a touchdown. I'm going to let this sit too. If it goes to 7.5, I'm for sure betting Washington. It's 7. I'll probably play it a little bit, but my main play in this game would be the under.
Yeah, that's a good look. And then finally, Texas traveling to Arkansas, where I believe Texas is laying 6.5, if I'm not mistaken. It's 7 now.
I've seen 7. Yeah.
Okay. Do you got the total in front of you?
I do. It is 56.5.
Ooh. That interests me. Any thoughts here?
I mean, I don't want to buy all in on Texas here, but I don't hate it as like a tease piece or a money line piece in a parlay. I don't want to go on the road and lay 6 with a young quarterback, but Arkansas was incredibly fortunate to cover last week. I actually had them -19.5. It was a tie game going into the fourth quarter, and they scored with a minute left.
No way. That's crazy. Yeah. I was not following that game at all.
Well, the coaches know the spreads. Kentucky did the same thing. It happened in like 5 different games, like minute left, and they're like throwing the ball and like literally like driving down the field instead of kneeling. So coaches are aware of this stuff now. They need to please the boosters. So
yep, that they do.
I think that score could have been a little deceiving, but I'll just play Texas in like a moneyline parlay or something.
So I'm thinking a Texas team total over.
Okay. Yeah, I can get with that.
And it's all with only a 56.5. It's not too.
So that'd be like half.
Say it one more time.
It'd be their team total would probably be about 30.5, 29.5, 30.5.
I really like that. I genuinely believe that Sark is one of, if not the best play caller in the entire country. I think that, and like, he's just going to unlock so much for all the weapons in that offense. And the quarterback looked really good. And they probably have the best running back in the country.
Bijan
is a beast. I will say the Arkansas offense should not be terrible. I didn't watch any of it. Just from what I was thinking, looking ahead, like into the season, they have arguably the best receiver in the country. If I remember correctly, I want to say I'm pulling up my quarterback sheet right here. Let me see. Arkansas, former fourth ranked dual threat quarterback. So, I could talk myself into just their full game over, or maybe like a first half over, but
I like your Texas angle a lot. I mean, if you think back to the familiarity Sarkisian has with Arkansas,
that's true.
I can't remember a game that Bama played them and did not put up 60. And obviously, it's a little different, but I mean, it's like first half they'd be up like 42-0. So,
yeah. Now that's. I mean, that being said, Bama was doing that to everyone in the first half.
That's true. They had quite the streak there.
But, all right, that's the top 25 matchups. Now we'll kind of get into our draft. James, you're the first pick. And we're going to the Georgia University of Alabama Birmingham game. That's UAB. And you took the over 45. Why do we like the over?
I just think this is a little too low. I mean, traditionally, this is a game Georgia wins like 28-10, like that type of thing. But since JT Daniels has taken over, if you throw
out that Clemson questionable. Game, he is questionable.
Oh, is he really?
Oblique injury.
Okay, I did not see that. But if he is playing, that might be why that got bet down like a point today. But I mean, if you look at every game that he started at Georgia, every total they've played has gone over this total. They've averaged 61 points per game. So they're going over pretty easily more often than not. And I think the spot lines up well for UAB to kind of catch Georgia sleeping. So that Georgia defense that was just lights out against Clemson allowed 3. In a game like this, I could see like maybe them reading their press clippings and sniffing themselves a little bit, just coming up flat, maybe taking a punch in the mouth from UAB first quarter, maybe in the first half, and UAB getting 14 or so. But that shouldn't be any problem for Georgia's offense. They have so many weapons. UAB does have a good defense and does like to play slow, but that doesn't worry me. I think Georgia gets at least 30 points here. If Georgia gets 30, I think you get over that total.
One thing I will say is that UAB does have, I'll call him an explosive quarterback. He's not necessarily like great by any means, not bad, definitely not bad, but Tyler Johnston, like he can run the ball well and he's got a good arm. So there's a chance you kind of get like a sleepy play early on where it's just something that gets broken for either really good field position or a long touchdown. I do like that. When you texted that to me and I was like, and I thought about it for a little bit and I was, yep, I am a big fan. I have not bet it yet though. So you said it fell down a point.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it did.
All right. My first pick, the Pittsburgh Panthers -3. I believe at Tennessee, if I'm not mistaken. To start, I am a fan of I'm a long-term fan of what Pittsburgh's doing on offense. They brought in a great assistant coach who wrote a book on the go-go offense, which is an offense that everywhere he has gone, the offense explodes. And I believe he's either the receivers coach or the quarterbacks coach. And he's like an offensive assistant. Pickett's back for his 10th year, and they did return their two best receivers, and the O-line should be solid. defensively, it's your typical Narduzzi defense where they're just going to beat you up. And I think out of all of the football we watched, probably this past weekend, probably aside from, no, Washington doesn't even fit into this category just because, like, the defense still showed out. Just the feeling I got from Tennessee was they looked like they just couldn't take a punch. And they let Bowling Green kind of at times kind of like dictate the game. And I mean, they still won very easily, but for a team that I think is going to be able to get pressure on Tennessee's quarterback, Joe Milton, pretty well, who, if you look at Joe Milton, dude's got every tool in the toolbox. He's got a big arm. He is super fast and he just has horrible decision-making and has no idea where the ball is going when he releases it. That on top of poor O-line play and just they lost so much talent this offseason. Like the program's not in a great spot right now. I think Pitt rolls here. And I will be looking at alternate Pitt lines too, because I think this could be a blowout.
Super with you there. I bet Pitt money line -140 on Sunday. It opened at a pick, and by the time I saw it, it was already 2.5. And the money line was kind of cheap at that point. With you there, another look I'd look to play potentially is Tennessee team total under. You could get about 26.5, 27.5. I just don't see it. That offense struggled to put up 30 against Bowling Green. What are they going to do against such just tenacious defense? So that would be my look.
I told you this earlier. I will add, Pittsburgh's defense is not as talented as it was last year. Like they lost a bunch of guys to the transfer portal and like a couple guys to the draft too. Or just people opted out early just to like prepare for the draft. That being said, like this is what Narduzzi does. And like, he's a defensive guy. So, and plus like the spots where I don't want to bet Narduzzi, especially as a road favorite, they're when he's like laying like 10 to like a bad team, laying a field goal or less, which I bet a -2 earlier. I'm so happy with that. Like it does not worry me. And you know what, if Pitt wins this game by one, I still will not complain about this bet. So we'll snake it. So my second pick here is the North Carolina State Wolfpack laying 2.5 against Mississippi State. Mississippi State had a furious comeback against La Tech last week. I believe it was La Tech. And I love Dave Doran. I think he is like in the running for most underrated coach in all of college football right now. I think they did exactly what they were supposed to, and they kicked the absolute crap out of a bad South Florida team. Offense looked great. Defense looked even better. I think that for a coach that talented, I think he's going to have a somewhat easy time preparing for the air raid. And the D-line is where they make their money. And if you can get pressure up front with a 3-4 man rush, you're going to have a fairly easy time with the air raid. Give me NC State -2.5. What are your thoughts?
Another game I'm copycatting you. I also bet this Sunday night, so you complete agreement for me.
Sweet. Your second pick. And I was not eyeing this before, but now when you put it on the graphic, I love this. Notre Dame Toledo, over 56 for you, James. Give me the little handicap here.
So the reason this total fell a little bit, I think it opened around 60. I think there's 17 mile per hour winds, which is always a little bit of a concern, but it shouldn't be here. Last week we saw Jack Cohn and that Notre Dame offense just be so precise and move that the drives they had were just incredible. And I think that win doesn't really affect their passing game or their scheme overall. They're not really a vertical threat team, which is where you'd probably see that win affect your passes. But I mean, they're just efficient 10-yard pass all the way down the field. They'll be able to run the ball too on Toledo. And then on the other side, Toledo is a very fast, high tempo team. Good at running the ball, a lot of experience returning a ton. So I think they get theirs. And obviously I think Notre Dame gets theirs after what they did too. Although I would be a little wary of Toledo potentially not maybe coming out slow. I just think it's a lot to kind of see this Notre Dame talent level. So that's like my one concern along with the win, but I think Notre Dame gets their points. If you want to just play Notre Dame team total over, I wouldn't hate that either. That'd probably be in the neighborhood of about
35 to 38.
Yeah, somewhere in there. So not a bad look either, but I think Toledo can do what just enough to get there. And I think this game actually goes poker pretty easy.
So I'm hoping that the kind of like weather news picks up steam late and then we get a depressed Notre Dame team total price. I also think Brian Kelly, did he get in trouble for his comments? Well, I don't know. Like, I feel like he'll be lighting a fire under the team. So and I think that'll show on defense. So I'm more targeting just a rushing explosion from Kyren Williams and Chris Tyree against Toledo, which Toledo does like they're, I mean, it's the MAC, but they're going to have one of, if not the best offenses in the MAC this year. So at 56, I'm not super worried about it. And the score that's just appearing in my mind is 49-7. So that's not doing it, but let's hope Toledo gets 10. I think Notre Dame scores with ease here, though. Your third pick. North Carolina, my North Carolina. That was a depressing game for me. -14.5 first half. Who do they play?
Georgia State.
Georgia State, that's right. Why do we like it here?
I love that they had an extra day or two to kind of just sit on their loss and think and reflect. They looked horrible against Virginia Tech. That offensive line looked bad. A lot of drops. Sam Howell didn't look like himself. Defense looked pretty good, which excited me, but that offense was not good. That's a little bit of a concern there, but I think that extra day or two of rest and just film and time to reflect and watch everybody else play fires this North Carolina team up a little bit. They get to come home. They will have the place rock, and there will be fans there. First home game there in a while. They're still ranked. Expectations are still very high for this team. And they get to play Georgia State, who's a very bad, bad, bad football team. They played Army last week, and they allowed Army to put 43, and we're down 27-7.5. I think North Carolina gets back to what they do. They run the ball well, which they couldn't do last week. Run the ball above the pass game. I see this being like 35-7.5. I think North Carolina gets over 14.5 points in the first quarter. So give me a first half -14.5.
Yeah, I like the first half angle. The defense was very impressive. And like I don't think the Virginia Tech's offense is gonna end up being very good. And I mean, like, they didn't look very good, which is a good sign. And Sam Howell's got a little something to prove this week. So I could see them putting up a big time number early. And I could see them kind of trying to almost force chemistry, like downfield chemistry with the skill players. So I'm hoping to see a bunch of chances downfield and some risk taking early on. So I think they'll bode well for your first half bet. My third pick, the Stanford USC over 51.5. So coming into the year, here were my quarterback notes for Stanford. So there was a competition between Jack West and Tanner McKee. Jack West started last week and as Stanford lost. My notes said, Tanner McKee, third-ranked pro-style quarterback in his class. He was top 50 overall. Jack West, very incredibly boring but solid. Far more upside with Tanner McKee. So I am buying Tanner McKee is going to start this week. I am buying that he does bring the upside, the scoring upside that Stanford needs. And I do think USC's offense can score with the best of them. I think that they have too many weapons outside for Stanford to contain. And I think that Tanner McKee is going to, he's going to provide problems for USC's defense. Although I do think USC has a very good defense. But 51.5 is a couple points too low. I think this should be 53 or 54. So give me the Stanford USC over. Any thoughts here?
I haven't really looked at this game, but if Stanford is changing quarterbacks, that helps you. And this is a suppressed total after two very low scoring games for these two teams last week.
Agreed. My fourth pick, Ohio State -14, which we've already talked about. But you brought up the someone, oh, like North Carolina, a couple days extra rest. Ohio State has 2 days extra rest, and they were able to watch Oregon. So I, that's just something that I forgot about and popped into my mind. So go Buckeyes. And then your fourth pick. Are you staking it all on the parlay? +748.5?
Yeah, I'm going to play it.
All right.
I like it enough. It's the under 48.5 I love. Throw Washington in there. If the under hits, Washington's covering. Very correlated. We already talked about it. Probably pays +250. So I like it.
Sounds good. And then your final pick to get us out of here. Well, I guess I have mine left too, but I've already talked about mine. It's Iowa +4.5. So final pick of the draft, James, Florida, South Florida, under 58.5. And while we're on the subject of extra rest, I'll let you get to it. But South Florida also has extra rest. And to prepare for a running quarterback, I think that's pretty valuable. So I am a proponent of this under 58.5. I think I'm going to be betting it. What's the handicap there?
I mean, the handicap is that South Florida's offense is just so bad.
It is very bad.
I mean, we saw both these teams go under very, very easily week one. South Florida, I think they lost 38 or 45 nothing. I picture something really similar here. Florida, they'll flex their muscle a little bit, but it doesn't really worry me. South Florida isn't good enough offensively to really scare me. Florida's not putting up 60, so under 58.5.
Works for me. I'm a fan. Anything to add before we go?
I think that was pretty thorough.
I would agree. Thank you all for listening. Don't forget, follow us at the Sharp Side Pod on Twitter and on Betsports, same username. I forgot to put some of these picks in. I'll get to it later. I'm very irregularly throwing bets in there. It's not everything. I will be tweeting them out and like tweeting screenshots with our records and stuff so you guys can follow along and bet alongside with us. I believe that's it for the Sharp Side Podcast. It's been fun. I'm excited. We are recording NFL week one tomorrow, which I cannot wait about. I'm sure Austin will be there, and I'm sure he's got some hot takes to throw along. And I'm not going to say it tomorrow because I'm sure he'll say it, but I did choke and he did win last year. And I know he's not going to listen to this. So, for the Sharp Side Podcast, it's been fun. Let's go win some money this weekend, huh? Thanks, guys.
Thank you.